All right, I'd like to start out just thanking everyone for being here this morning. If we could get approval of the February 2nd, 2026 minutes.
Make a motion.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any changes or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. Craig, your turn. While Craig's walking up here, I just want to give him credit. He came to the magistrates meeting, got asked a bunch of questions right on the spot and how things worked. He did an excellent job answering them. So the magistrates were happy and thankful for you being there as well.
Well, we definitely want to keep you guys happy.
Good
Morning, everyone. I am here today to ask for permission to enter into a memorandum of understanding with a company called IPPC. That stands for Internet Probation and Parole Control, IPPC Technologies. The service they provide is software that can analyze the behavior of our sex offenders using electronic devices, both phones, laptops, gaming devices. This would be a zero cost program for the county. There would be a monthly fee for any of our sex offenders that want to use electronic devices that connect to the internet. They would pay the fee directly to the company. We would be given access to the data the company collects. They would help us analyze it and be able to identify risks, risky behaviors that these folks are engaging in. This is definitely an area of concern. We've searched devices for years as part of our responsibilities as probation officers. But honestly, as my staff ages and the strategies that especially our young offenders are using to conceal their activities online, this is I think an essential public safety issue for us to tackle. And this is a industry leading company. Both Yates and Schuyler counties contracted or entered MOUs with this company last year. I think there are six probation departments in Western New York that are using this service, and I spoke with all the directors, and they were very much in favor of us of our moving forward with it. So, again, zero cost to the county, but I need your permission to go ahead and move forward.
Yeah, let's go home. Make a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Is there any negative side to it?
I don't see any downside whatsoever to this. Honestly, this is something I think that's overdue.
I know Gary Swackhammer's not here anymore, but you would have had him from no cost to the county. Go ahead, Scott.
Is it a requirement of the person that they have to enroll in this, or?
Correct. So if a sex offender with conditions where their electronics are to be supervised, if they would like to have an electronic device, they would need to download the software onto the device, pay the monthly fee, and essentially grant this company access to analyze what they're doing. I mean, it's keystroke analysis, it's photographic analysis. It's pretty sophisticated stuff.
So it comes down to what the judge said their conditions were, and
Correct.
some of them have this electronic device.
Correct. Typically, any sex offender whose crime involved the use of electronic devices would have these conditions.
Okay.
Many other sex offenders, rightfully so, have conditions around their use of devices. So,
Okay. All right.
We're not going to retroactively and go back and add this condition necessarily to everyone. We're going to run a trial program, and I've talked with the judges about potentially going back on a case-by-case basis to add this as a condition for folks we've already been supervising. Some of our sex offenders are supervised for 10 years.
Yeah.
So if someone was put on a year or two ago, and electronic devices is a concern, that may be someone that we would be going back to the courts and asking for an adjustment.
Good. Thank you.
All right, we have a motion. Oh, go ahead.
What's the cost to the person?
It's $35 per device. So if they want to have a smartphone, it'd be $35. If they want to have a, the gaming devices in particular are an easy way. There's so many different gaming devices, and these young guys, frankly, know how to hide things on them from my officers. So again, if they want to have an Xbox or a PlayStation or whatever per device, they would need to install the software on each one. And if they're not forced to pay the fee, but if they want to be able to be internet connected, they would have to do that.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Morning, Sheriff.
I'm going to invite Chief Lewis up and Deputy Hurd. You've met Deputy Hurd before. You're going to hear some more of his activities today. This is Chief Lewis of the Bath Police Department. Chief Lewis has already commended Deputy Hurd for his actions, but I thought you guys should probably hear it too.
You brought it, so I didn't have to.
I did.
So, funny story, real quick. I was going through my office last week and I found a picture of Deputy Hurd's father and I getting an award by Sheriff Twiddell back about close to 30 years ago. So, but this is actually really important just to show the cooperation between all the agencies. But Deputy Ethan Hurd demonstrated exceptional performance in an effort to save a human life while answering an immediate call for service. On January 31st, 2026, Deputy Hurd was dispatched alongside members of the Bath Police Department and the New York State Police to a reported house fire. Upon arrival, officers observed a two-story residence with flames visible from multiple windows. They were informed that a subject was possibly also trapped inside the residence. Recognizing that time was critical, Deputy Hurd, Sergeant Roberson, and Officer Waite, without hesitation and with complete disregard for their own personal safety, entered the burning structure to search for the trapped individual. Working quickly alongside a civilian neighbor, they conducted a search of the residence, breaking down an interior door where they were able to locate the subject. Deputy Hurd then dragged the subject to a doorway where, along with members of the New York State Police, were able to carry the subject to a waiting ambulance. The quick response, situational awareness, and effective teamwork displayed by Deputy Hurd, Sergeant Roberson, Officer Waite, Trooper Caraba, Trooper Emfield, Trooper Gazuski, and Trooper Kuhn showed collective interagency cooperation and exemplify the highest standards of professionalism, bravery, and commitment to public service. Their actions on January 31st, 2026 reflect great credit upon themselves, their respective agencies, and the Bath Police Department.
So, thank you, Chief. As I said, you've seen Deputy Hurd before. He's doing an outstanding job for us. There are other deputies besides him that we have. He keeps ending up here because he is the exact kind of young deputy that we are pleased to hire. He doesn't hesitate. He gets involved, and he makes a difference when he's out there each and every day. So thank you for your professionalism, integrity, leadership, and service. All right. Eddie's going to want to get some pictures of you. Okay. If we could have Deputy McCoy now. Sheriff Serencion from Ontario County was going to present this next one. He ended up getting tied up. It's been a busy weekend for law enforcement. So he texted me this morning and said he would not be able to make it. So I'll read to you the letter of support he sent and the commendation that he sent for Deputy McCoy and, more importantly, K-9 Trip. So this is the letter from Sheriff Serencion of Ontario County. Sheriff Allard, I'm writing to formally express my sincere appreciation for Deputy McCoy's exceptional assistance to the Ontario Sheriff's Office during the recent search for an individual who fled the scene of a motor vehicle crash. When the call for assistance was made, Deputy McCoy responded without hesitation, bringing both her expertise and K-9 Trip across county lines to aid in what had quickly become a critical and time-sensitive situation. Her arrival just after 20 minutes after her initial call for service, prepared and ready to deploy, demonstrated both her professionalism and commitment to public safety. The individual, and this was on one of those two-degree nights when this occurred, the individual had fled into dense, unforgiving terrain and was exposed to severe cold temperatures for an extended period. Within approximately 45 minutes of arriving at the scene, Deputy McCoy and K-9 Trip successfully located the subject deep within the wooded area. Given the environmental conditions and the length of time the individual had been exposed to the elements, it is clear that her swift response and tracking expertise were instrumental in preventing what could have resulted in a loss of life. Following the location of the individual, fire and EMS personnel were able to safely extract him from the woods and transport him to the local hospital for emergency treatment. Without her dedication, skill, and the remarkable work of K-9 Trip, the outcome would have been tragically different. Deputy McCoy's actions exemplify the highest standards of law enforcement service, interagency cooperation, and commitment to preserving life. On behalf of the Ontario Sheriff's Office and the citizens we serve, please accept my deepest gratitude for her professionalism and unwavering dedication. Thank you again for allowing her to respond in this mutual aid capacity. Respectfully, David J. Cerencione, Ontario County Sheriff. So what occurred on this was Canine Trip is our bloodhound and is nationally certified. They had a crash just next door in Ontario County. The guy fled into the woods and fled deep into the woods. I believe your track was 22 minutes from when she started the track at the vehicle till when she located the individual was 22 minutes in sub-zero temperatures. Again, you know, when we talk about the cost of canines and the cost of training and the cost of what we do, every time we save a life, I think vindicates that cost. So, and the fact that Deputy McCoy, who's typically works days at different schools, came out in the middle of the night with about 20 minutes preparation and achieved this is incredible and a testament to her professionalism. So thank you, Erica, for what you do. There you go. Thank you. And she would have brought Trip in, but if he shook his head once, you'd all be covered with slobber. He's a big slobbery boy. All righty. On to our next item, the OMH Cares Up grant. Just to kind of give you a little background on what this is, the Office of Mental Hygiene does grants through Cares Up to full-time first responder agencies, primarily police, and is for developing a wellness program and in the furtherance of it. We applied for that grant. Lieutenant Kennedy applied for it, who is the chair of our wellness committee. He applied for that a couple months ago, I think 3 months ago, and we were awarded $40,000 per year for 3 years. So we, first of all, we would like the ability to accept that grant.
So moved, Potter.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And then the second half of that is item number three, authorizing me to enter into contract with Research Foundation for Mental Hygiene, Inc. That is the parent group that actually provides the funds. I have to enter into a contract with them.
Make a motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second to enter into the contract. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Okay, thank you. The next item is to amend the contract with ViaPath, which is Global Telling. So if you will recall, we did an RFP, I think, 3 or 4 years ago for inmate phone services. And ViaPath was the folks we went with. I kind of warned you at the time that the FCC was looking at changing their rate system. They did, in fact, change their rate system. So what we agreed to at that time has now been drastically altered. Commissions to premise providers are no longer allowed. So our phone commissions will go down significantly. It doesn't come to us. It goes right into the general fund. There's new terms for rates per minute and interstate rates per minute and use of the tablets, which they provide. So I have to sign an amendment to their contract with your approval in order to continue phone services at a reduced rate.
Make that motion.
Second it.
And it's one of those things, Sheriff, where we really don't have a choice, right?
No, it's all due to FCC control.
Okay.
How much had we planned in the budget, you know?
So
they went to the commissary.
Right. Yeah. So I don't believe
commissary separate.
Yeah. From a county budget standpoint, this shouldn't have an impact. It obviously impacts the finances of the commissary.
Okay.
Yep, go ahead, Justin.
Sheriff, is this the only company that provides this service?
No, there's two or three. That's why we had to do the RFP last time. I heard you from the speaker. I wasn't sure who was speaking.
Are there any?
Yeah, we did an RFP last time because there's Securitas is another company, Viapath, and I think there's a third, but I'm not 100%.
Thank you.
Yep. And they're all stuck with the same FCC ruling.
Seeing no other questions, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay.
And is that your last one, Sheriff?
Well, actually, no. I have, we had submitted that we needed to accept a donation from the boathouse, right, but I don't see it on the agenda.
Yep. All right. What's the donation for?
So each year, the boathouse, which has a boat slips in Hammondsport, donates a boat slip for the sheriff's boat. And each year they send us a bill and zero it out as a donation. The amount is $2,352.
I move to accept it.
Okay. Do we have a second? We have a second. Are there any questions? Seeing, oh, go ahead, Mike. Supporting
FPS? No. No, they do not. We still pull the boats and gas them here at the county pumps and put them back in and put in additive with it. Yep.
All right. Seeing no other questions, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries. So all I was going to do, Sheriff, when you were done, is I was just going to ask you if you could, what I had sent you an email yeah. about, like, I asked the sheriff after our last meeting, Joe is not here, but Joe had asked if we ever have housed any ICE and how many federal inmates we have and just, you know, a few things. So I asked the sheriff if he could give us a little information after everybody that's been at our meetings questioning us. So he's just going to give us a little brief.
I'm glad that you did, because I had some things that I've got to find out where you guys want to go as a group with ICE. So the last time we housed an ICE inmate was 2015. That's when the law changed as far as, or not the law, but the case law changed as far as the administrative warrants. So we haven't housed an ICE inmate since 2015. They would love to house with us. They have 20 or 30 they'd love to put with us at the $130 rate. I haven't accepted any yet because of all of the responses generated to that last contract. I would like to get a feel from this group if you'd like me to pursue that or not.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. The other side of that is, since we signed the 287G contracts, we have assisted ICE and kept them safe when they've been here. We're eligible for reimbursement of $130,000 currently. I haven't applied for yet until I heard from this group if that's where you'd like me to go. I don't want to apply for it and then have to give it back. But it's reimbursement. $100,000 would be for any kind of transportation, which could include a new car or upfits to cars, any maintenance to vehicles. And then the other $30,000 is for individual deputies that are on the roll as being ICE certified.
I think it's a good opportunity to do it so we can show that we can do this without any incident and keep it controlled. So,
if I could, Sheriff, just yep. quick, that $30,000, is that an offset to the county cost of their salary, or does it change their, it doesn't change their compensation, right?
No, it goes right to the county. Good question, though. No, it's not a bonus to anybody. My plan would be to put it into overtime if we could.
What are our deputies' thoughts on it?
They're everybody I've talked to, and Lieutenant Logsdon is here, but they're all in favor of it. It makes us safer, and it gives us the ability to, when we have someone who's committed a crime that's not supposed to be in this country legally, gets them out of here.
Me? Go ahead. Yep.
Okay. Do you know that they've had warrants served?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
To my knowledge, they've been down here 3 times. And what they typically do is the way the Rochester office works, at least, is they get a list from their supervisors on folks to check on. Typically, we only have like 8 or 9 in Steuben County. And when they come down, now that we have a contract with them, if they're going to come down, they'll contact our agency. We'll make an op plan. They'll go do their thing. We'll make sure they're safe. They get their people, and away they go. And I think that's the way it should work. And that's what we're engaged in. So they've been down 3 different days, I believe, so far. And we've had 0 issues. And they've taken two people from Honduras and one from Brazil that was here illegally.
Go ahead, Kelly.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. I think first and foremost that when we talk about collaborating and cooperating, this is a great example of that.
Yes.
I think that it's not only an opportunity for you to assist a federal agency, but your main goal is public safety, and you take good care of the residents of Steuben County, and your involvement in this helps protect the residents of Steuben County as well. And as far as training goes, isn't it true that they're just basically training us on their systems and their software? They're not taking you guys out and teaching you how to shoot guns or anything like that?
Correct. Okay. Yes, it's entirely, and actually, come on up, Brian. He's one of our trained deputies, so he can tell you exactly what the training is.
Yeah, so the training involves some coursework through their training program online, and it runs through all of the different laws as far as customs and immigrations and how they work in their administrative process so that we understand when they come down here and they're doing their thing, we understand what they're looking for and what they're doing. So that way we can work alongside them and assist them.
And I think that that's a lot of what we've been hearing at the full legislator meeting is it's communication. You know, what people are thinking that we're doing is by far not what we're doing. Just like you said, mm-hmm. It's to keep safety. And like Kelly says, ever since I've been on the legislature, you know, the sheriff with his job is to keep the county safe, you know, and the deputies learning, you know, being EMTs, you know what I mean? That's every step of that is to make the county safer for all of us. And I think having the know of when there could be something going on is definitely better than not knowing.
Yeah. Yes. That. I agree.
Go ahead, Fred. Proceed.
Are they looking for illegal immigrants that have criminal records only?
They're also looking for folks that have warrants or people that have. So if you've entered this country illegally and then because you didn't come through a port of entry and then been deported and then come back in a second time, that's a federal felony.
Okay.
So they're looking for those folks too.
Okay.
And Sheriff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the two that Patty, my wife, had arraigned, that they went to the jail, they went to Cap Court, they mm-hmm. ended up getting picked up, went to yep. Batavia. They were both exactly what the sheriff just said. Somehow they had already been deported. They got back in here and they had scammed one person out of 9,000, one out of 13,000 in okay. Hornell. That's what they got arrested right. for.
In both those situations, they were part of a much larger criminal enterprise, which again, having them involved in the federal system allows the other federal partners access to any data they may be willing to share.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'll just stay. You know, I voted no at the January meeting because I felt the whole thing was kind of rushed. But since then, I've talked to the sheriff, and I, if the sheriff thinks this is a good idea, I support him 100%. I think he's shown exceptional leadership for our county. So, yeah, I support him.
I have to agree with Mike. I voted no only because of the ice box, but I really appreciate. No, listen, I really appreciate you being here.
When you say ice box, my mind goes different.
But I really, really appreciate you not only coming here and explaining that, but I think you've got our full support.
Good. Thank you.
Good, Justin.
Piggyback off Fitzpatrick. Just hearing from the community, you know, it's community, how it's forced through rumors and everything, but they feel in the situations that have happened nationally and publicly, you know, brought to light, that those cities and towns were unaware.
Mm-hmm.
And my argument of having these agreements is for us to be aware. And you've mentioned that that's how that's worked. So, yep.
And I firmly believe that the only places we're seeing bad things happen is where local law enforcement isn't doing their job in assisting ICE.
And that being prevented from doing their job,
prevented right. or politically motivated. That's a hard thing, you know,
right.
The next, you and I've talked before a little bit, but just verbalize your feelings on these ICE agents training. You feel it's adequate?
Oh, absolutely. So most of them that are coming here from Rochester have 12, 15, 18 years on the job. And, you know, the whole rhetoric of, oh, they only get 47 days of training. Well, that's 10 weeks. That's more training than I got in basic training when I went in the Army. But that's not where their training ends. All of Border Patrol, ICE, and HSI all go through the same 10-week basic training. And then they go and do their specific training, their job-specific training. And then they do on-the-job field training before they're allowed to go out on their own. So, again, there's a lot of misinformation and misrepresentation out there.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Scott.
The threat of the governor signing something preventing bears to break, does the New York State Sheriff's Association have an official position on that?
Yes, and we're meeting with a member of the governor's office, hopefully within 2 weeks, to voice that. But yeah, that's, you look at the northern counties that are all bordering with Canada. They also get federal funds through, it's called the Stone Garden program, which is specifically through immigration. And if you're a border county, it can be up to $1 million a year that you're getting to patrol and keep the border safe. So it's much farther reaching than what's been in the news.
Well, if we move forward with agreement soon, would you be grandfathered in even if she signed something?
We already have our agreement.
Oh, okay. So,
so we're all,
so
yeah,
it doesn't affect what she can do whatever she
that'll
wants.
That'll remain to be seen what the language is in the chapter
it
amendment
depends
in the
upon
budget.
Specific language in the legislation, then potentially any challenge after if that happened.
Yep. So good. Thank you. I appreciate the information. I'll move forward with the reimbursements and I think
we appreciate the
all
update.
I have.
I appreciate you being able to give us that information so we can.
I didn't want to move forward without
new information.
Yeah, I didn't want to move forward without consensus. Okay. Cool.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank
you. Have a great day.
Morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Morning.
For those of you I haven't met yet, I'm Ken Ferenz, Deputy Director on the Emergency Management side of our office. First, I'd like to start by taking a moment to thank everyone from administration to Sheriff's Office, Community Health Office, Community Services for the compassion and support over the last few weeks since we lost 901 Deputy Director Nick Snyder. So, thank you. First item on the agenda today is the student agreement. This is an agreement that Director Marshall and Law Department worked up and reviewed. This is going to serve as a template for us to utilize with agencies that are going to support the field internship portion of students in the EMT classes. So when they go into EMT class, they have to go into the field and work with an agency and basically provide care to a set number of patients to complete their field internship portion. So we definitely anticipate doing this agreement with Bath Ambulance, likely also AMR, so, and possibly some other agencies. So we're just looking approval to move forward with this agreement template and be able to utilize that.
Make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Second item is we're looking for approval to sign agreement with Mission Critical Partners. This is called the ASAP to PSAP. This is an automated secure alarm protocol. Basically, what this does is it cuts out the middleman, allows the alarm companies to send us the alarms for burg, fire, medical alarms within a matter of seconds versus them having to have their call taker pick up the phone, call, and talk to our call taker. So this will streamline that process and allow us to get the call out to the responders much quicker. This is something we can fund through grants, and the cost is $8,040.
And I would say, from an operational standpoint, it's going to save a tremendous amount of hours talking to Tim and Kenny and Nick over the years, the amount of time that our folks, whether it be the behind the scenes IT folks or the folks on the floor, having to deal with automated alarms is a lot more than I ever thought until they shared kind of the headache. So this seems like a really good thing.
Yeah, especially when we see storms roll across the area, power outages, things like that, we'll see an uptick in alarms. And then a lot of those alarms are actually canceled, but by the time it makes it back, time it makes it to us, sometimes 2 or 3 minutes, and the time the cancellation comes back through, it could be 5, 6, 7 minutes. So this will definitely streamline that process and help with traffic flow.
This has nothing to do with it, but I will tell you that they should change the ASAP name, because when Amanda sent that, I saw it said ASAP, so I pulled over to read this email. I was like, I thought it was like I needed to do this now.
We'll call you if that's the case. Yeah.
I was like, what the
heck? I'll blame that on Tim since he's not here. That's
I'll make a motion.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Are there any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Number three, the CART team establishment. We'd like to table that till next month. Director Marshall's got some more work with the law department to do on that.
What is the CART team?
It's a county animal response team. So without getting into a lot of it, basically under state law, it allows the counties to run and oversee an animal response team. And some of the logistics Tim's working with the law department on is regarding the liability and things of that nature. But
we're not talking about another dog trailer, are we, Chad?
No, it's not a dog
trailer. No, would you like to call Tom Ryan?
No. I am familiar with that story too. There has been incidences recently, transportation incidences, where we've had a number of animals involved in transportation accidents, where we've had to think outside the box. So there is some validity to looking at this. So, but we'll be back next month. Number four, like to get approval to go to bid on a powered stair chair. This is an item that was included in our minor equipment, and I'm talking with person purchasing. They'd like us to just get a blessing from you to move forward with that.
I'll move it.
All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. And this is just to put it out for a bid. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And I'll... Thanks, Kenny. I'll clear up with purchasing. I know Scott gave kind of a look. We actually changed the administrative code.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Now everything's clear, but if the item's budgeted, we can put out the bids.
Unless that chair's a lot more than we're thinking.
No. If it's budgeted, we can put out the bids. You have to approve the bids once they come in. But either way, you got them covered. So.
All right. And then I did have one other, if I could add it. In talking with personnel also, or purchasing, excuse me, we had a cardiac monitor that was budgeted for purchase as well this year. We'd like to stick with Stryker. That's who our current cardiac monitor is through, just to streamline training and use for the paramedics in the field. We do have a sole source letter, but purchasing asked us to come to this meeting and ask for permission to.
So this is something new, and actually at Public Works next, you're going to have an item very similar. There is authorizations both under general municipal law and comptroller guidance about standardization of vendors for, it's going to be scales when you talk about it with Public Works. In this case, it's equipment that go on the rigs, because we want our EMTs, paramedics, to be able to hop from one to the other without having to deal with a bunch of different. So you do have the option as a body to standardize with your authorization around a vendor. We still have to go through the procurement process, but in specialty situations like this, where it operationally makes sense to standardize around one vendor, it was new to me. the conversation, but that is an option and what we're recommending. So it would be a motion.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to have it so that you jump in one ambulance or one fly car, you know what you're, they're the same.
So it'd be a motion to standardize around Stryker?
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Are there any questions? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries. All right.
All set. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you very much. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, question for you, Ken.
Yes, sir.
How are we coming on the Woodhull EMT up there? Are we getting closer to being 24 hours or not?
So we're still working through that logistically. It causes it makes things a little bit challenging. It's going to require additional staff in order to do that, full-time staff, based on some recent sit downs that we had to work through the numbers. So, I anticipate we'll have, some numbers, from Jack for you guys shortly. So, or to Jack for you guys shortly.
Do we have enough volunteers to cover the off hours that we're not on?
As far as I know, Woodhull has been covering as they can. I'm not sure, you know, as far as.
Steve Addison and Tuscarora are still in the mix.
Correct. So Tuscarora is now back in service. They've been taking some calls. Addison has been picking up more calls recently as well. So,
okay.
And then we've been filling in the gaps as needed.
Yeah, there definitely has been, from what Kenny and Tim and Brandon have shared, more mutual aid in the off hours.
Good.
From outside, just because, you know, the volunteers have picked up what they can, but there still is a gap. As Kenny mentioned, staffing, I think, is the main hurdle in this. We are very fortunate, and these guys did a great job identifying and hiring candidates to come to the county. That pool is smaller now that we hired essentially 18 FTE. So that's going to be the main component. Been talked pretty regularly with those guys about spinning it up, possibly with temporary hires. If we can find a group of part-timers that can fill those gaps, that would be good. But it's going to, you know, at some point we're going to have to, almost like we did with the last one, if we can start with temporary part-timers,
yeah,
to fill the gaps, we have the money in the budget for it. We could do that and then identify the candidates for the permanent positions. But we don't want to bring position creations or changes to you without having candidates in place.
I understand. Did Jasper ever get back in business or not?
Not yet. No.
Ken, as long as you're right there, I have.
So there's no Troopsburg sold their equipment. Jasper's out.
Yeah.
So
that stretch down that way is challenging, because now you're relying upon Woodhull and Addison to cover that. And our rig, when we're in operation, could be over right. The east side. And now if we have to go to Jasper or Troopsburg, you know,
yeah,
it's a challenging stretch.
Ken, I had one other question. Nick had asked me this the other day. Might be a Tim question. This is kind of throwing a curve at you, but as far as the local fire departments, I know we've always talked about, you know, the EMS, you know, and ambulance, which is great, but the fire departments keep getting all these basically threats from up above that they have to have this, they have to have this, they have to have two sets of turnout gear, things that they just can't afford to buy. Is there any programs out there to help the small departments so that they don't fold or go under? Like Nick can give you an example. You can give him the example you gave me that.
No, I've got a call from the Department of Labor that does our fair inspection stuff. So I've got a good rapport with him, and he'd been over to Cameron, and he continues to write them up on things, and they don't have the money or the ability to fix. It's building repairs, it's things like that. I don't know if there's any help we could have to, or possibly through the county to supplement these small fire departments, keep them in business. Cause as they keep, you know, we already lost Wallace. What's the next one that's going to go down? We keep losing services, then we lose shared services. We lose everything. We'll be down to two or three departments in the whole county.
Yeah. So there is an application that's currently open. It's called the V Fire Grant, through the state. The state, I think it has it open until March 11th, maybe. It was pushed out. It was the end of February. We've shared that information with all the fire departments. I think in certain categories, that's up to $1 million you could apply for. It is infrastructure and small equipment. So there's two different portions to that. So that grant is out there.
Is it B as in boy or V as in
V
Vicky?
as in Victor, V fire.
Oh, go ahead, Kelly.
Isn't that a reimbursement grant though? So the department has to
Yeah,
spend
I
the
believe.
money and then submit the
I
application
believe
for
so, yeah.
reimbursement. So therein also lies part of the problem.
The cash flow, yeah.
Yes, and the other thing, volunteers themselves are in short supply. Now, our chairman's meeting at the end of this month, provided that Tim is still up for it, was going to be talking about a potential state program to help assist with getting volunteer firemen. So, I mean, it's good for us to start having these conversations, getting ahead of the curve.
Because when Nick made those comments to me, I know that, Campbell's in the same predicament with their old fire station, and they did over 700 calls last year. I mean, that's huge for a small department. So
Well, and oh, I'm sorry, Michael had
go
a.
ahead, Mike.
It's $1 million for buildings and $500,000 for equipment. And then once you secure the funding, my understanding is pretty easy to get the loan.
Yeah, they could go get a temporary loan. Then, yeah.
We've.
It is the typical grant process, so it can be challenging.
I do feel, and we've talked about it during budgets and such, but I do feel. Hopefully it's not the next 10 or 20 years, but within 30 years, I mean, the backstop for fire is not going to be New York State. It's going to be the county, just like it is for EMS. Again, hope I think we're lucky in our some counties are already facing that right now, having discussions along those lines because of the drop of some of their departments. But, I can foresee that within the next few decades, county might be in the fire business as well.
Go ahead, Justin.
I know when I was involved in North Corning and then moved to Hornby, there was total budget differences. Does the county have their own grant writers? Because and when I was in North Corning, we paid for grant writers and we won grants. When I moved to Hornby, we can't afford grant writers and we don't get grants. So is that a service, or do we have grant writers that could be potentially shared to these companies?
So we do have, as of a month ago, grant writing services, and they've been very active in the past month already identifying opportunities. In terms of sharing them, that would be a decision for you. That would obviously change the cost structure to us. We would also have to talk about the RFP because we put the RFP out in relation to, or we piggybacked on that. I'm sorry. From Rockland County. What we'd need to have a discussion about that. So you if that's something that you're interested in as a shared service, we would you folks would have to have a conversation, then we'd have to have a conversation in terms of how do we do that from procurement, but then also certainly would want intermunicipal agreements, those sort of things. Do you charge back a portion of the cost? Do you not? Those are some of the questions.
Absolutely. I think it's worth exploring. I mean, our district, Caton and Corning's a district, and they've got pretty good funding, but Hornby not being, there's many of them around the county that match Hornby. So I think exploring that might be an opportunity.
Go ahead, Scott.
On a separate note, the certificate of need, I was wondering what kind of support we've received from the municipalities that were asked to send in a letter.
Brandon's coming.
I'll tag Brandon in on this one.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We received really good support. We had to elicit support from every town, city, municipality in the county, every hospital, every ambulance agency, and every fire department. So I think at last count, 150 letters went out roughly. I'd say we probably got about a third of them back. Or excuse me. No, closer to about 75 letters total.
Okay.
With the bulk majority of them coming from the cities, towns, and villages, I believe somewhere around 42 or 43 letters from the municipalities themselves.
All
So
right, good.
very appreciative of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I can just, on what Justin said about small town fire departments, Caton had an issue building a new fire station, my God, probably 8, 10 years ago. It got voted down a number of times because they wanted a ridiculous amount of money. They tried grant writing, and the problem when you have a fire department that doesn't have any debt, they don't qualify. They needed to be financially unstable in order for the state to step in and help with money. So it's kind of a, if you're doing a good job, you're not going to get any additional money.
They did manage to get a couple of low interest state loan to finish their building. And they also have another loan to pay for their building.
But when they were trying to do it on a $2.5 million building, nothing. Yeah.
I think even just sharing the name of the company that writes the grants, like, you know, the company that we have.
It's Millennium Strategies.
But I mean, I think just if a small town or small department reach out to them and find out what the cost is to write it. I mean, just knowing that there's someone out, because there's so many scams out there, just knowing somebody, well, the county uses this company, we could put our money into, if we can only hire them once, we can't afford to do this wrong or get, you know, scammed. If the county's using them, there's probably a good chance that we could use them, you know. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I just said towns can also use Southern Tier Central, and it's a governmental entity, so you don't have to do an RFPP. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a, I mean, that's what we've used, and it's very reasonable.
I think the good point that Justin had there is, it might be able to share these services through the county. It might, depending on their price structure, might be able to split the cost, you know, among the municipality, the smaller municipalities. You know, I'm not sure how they would work that. So, I mean, it's definitely worth looking into for these smaller towns that might not be able to afford the full service. I just don't know how they do. They do it per grant, or
I don't either. That's what we'd have to find out, because it might make our cost lower. Like,
yeah, right. That's what I. Yeah.
Some do, and that's what we can have some discussions with, if you'd like, with Millennium behind the scenes. We pay a retainer structure, which, in if you win more than one grant, is actually much cheaper than paying for the individual grants. But I could, we'll have some conversations with them to see if they do this anyplace else, or what pricing structure would look like.
All right. Is there anything else for Ken while he's up there? All right. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Does personnel have anything today?
Nope.
All right. Okay, so we are for the animal cruelty law, for the changes where we had moved this from our full legislator meeting. Everybody got the different emails. All right. So, Tim, could you explain, like you did to me, the part about the first offense, how it actually is not on the person, what's on the list?
I think the most recent one, I hope, has the, under the penalty section, it talks about, okay, you failed to register, you're in trouble, you're getting a fine, or you're getting up to a year in jail right away. Same thing with possession of it. So it's those are the registration people. They're in trouble immediately. The transferors, like you or I or PetSmart or whatever company might be transferring pets, might not necessarily have been to court and given a directive, hey, go register with the sheriff's department. So these transferors that might be transferring a pet need it, we're requiring them, regardless of whether or not they have been directed by the court or otherwise, to check the registry before they start giving out pets. So that's something that's really going to publicly need to go out there, that, okay, everybody's on notice, because otherwise they wouldn't know. So it was shall not give a fine. Now it's may. So you still may give a fine to a transferor who didn't reach out to the sheriff's department to find out who's on the list or not. So that's really the change in that designation of who's in trouble. So you may or may not. I removed shall to create it as a may. So that's the big change in the penalty section of that. And then I changed the renumbering. But that's what, I mean, you can have them. They can get a penalty right away if they're a transferor and they didn't check the registry. But it's like a free pass. It's not a free pass for the people that went to court and got convicted of the crime, because they already have to register. So they're not getting anything. They're not getting a free first time for screwing up.
So what this means is Paul has a litter of puppies and he sells them and he didn't know this list even exists. He might have someone come out and say to him, hey, there's a list and you need to be checked. So he wouldn't get something on that.
And he transferred. Yeah. And he transferred to a bad person. That's it takes that part of it. So you can transfer to all the good people you want, but you screw up and transfer to a person on the registry, you should be in trouble. Well, how do they know that? They didn't know. Oh, and then you give them a break the first time, or you don't, because I, you know, instead of shall, it's may.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the local law. My concern is I have a large number of Amish living in my district, and they don't have access to internet and all that stuff. And for them to be aware of this law and so forth, that's going to be a problem.
And we can definitely do, you know, at I think we could do it at a reasonable cost, more paper, more mailings, more, you know, put flyers in the town halls, whatever the case may be.
Because that's my thing is too, because I mean, like when Shannon had brought it up to me, I mean, I think that if somebody's intentionally has this, you know what I mean? And you're selling it to somebody on, but if they don't, the Amish are a good example of somebody that's going to have a hard time even knowing this list exists.
Right.
But after they get warned, you know, when a deputy or we send them a letter from the law department says you sold it, there is a list and you need to be checking it. Then the next time they sell one, that's a different story because they know it exists, but it's hard for them to even know this law exists because, you know, like with my other business, you know, I deal with the Amish all the time and you're 100% right. You know, they wouldn't know something like, and a lot of them do sell, you know, animals.
Yeah. It's my understanding that they can, there's a phone number that they can call to check, see if somebody's on the list once it's created.
When we get there. Yeah.
I think for the Amish, that's the way you'd have to do because they all do use the phone and they could call and check and see if somebody's on that list. I mean, I think that's because there's no way you're going to have them checking on the internet. They're going to have their neighbor check in. So what other questions do we have with what Tim has made changes to?
The sheriff, I mean, it was initially when we started, when this was bouncing around, like, hey, when these people get a clean slate, what are we going to do? Or they're, you know, their conviction is overturned. It sets forth if their conviction is overturned. It does not set forth, hey, what about the clean slate? Because their conviction really is not overturned. It's simply a civil wipe away of the criminal conviction. So it's up to the ledge to say, well, if you want clean slate people to be removed, we can. But I don't think it's been challenged yet. So I would leave it in there that I don't care if you get clean slated after 3 or 5 or 8 years. You're going to be on the registry still. Well, I don't want to be on the registry. Okay, then we'll have a lawsuit and I'll fight about it because I think you should be, because it doesn't change the underlying facts that, yeah, the governor wiped away your conviction, but you still did X, Y, and Z. And at one point you were convicted. So you're staying on the registry. That's how I settle for that.
Go ahead.
Jessica's question. The municipality, the clerks, when somebody comes in for a dog license, what is their response? Are they at that point supposed to check this?
They would be a good source of tattletale, but they are not on the transferor ownership. They could give us a heads up or give somebody a heads up. They don't have any response.
No legal.
Let's put it that way. No.
But yeah, if
it
they
would
did,
be nice
that'd
to
be
know.
Good. Yeah.
I'm trying to register my pet, and I was convicted last week. Yeah, you're now,
and I think different ones.
No requirement or liability on their end.
I think different ones would do it differently. Yeah. You know, go ahead, Scott.
Back to the transfer or Petco, PetSmart are in Chemung County.
I just made up a name. I didn't know.
But for example,
right.
They aren't in our county.
Right.
Are they still responsible to understand what our laws are? So they now have to figure out where a person lives.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you manage that.
It would go by where the.
I think it's going to pretty much go statewide. There's so many that are, this law is out there that I would think that the transaction occurs in Chemung and you've got a Steuben resident. I think they need to check the Steuben resident for what's your restrictions in our county. But there's a may, you know, we may hit them, we may not. We may send them a note saying, hey, you start transferring to Steuben residents, you better look at this registry.
It's going to be a gray area all the way through, because look how many people travel to Georgia or whatever to pick up a special kind of dog.
If it was a statewide thing, that would be more efficient for companies like that to go on a site and check. But if each individual county has one, they got to know where to go and look. I mean, I think that adds a lot of burden to them outside of our county.
I would agree. I'm not against it, though.
Located in Steuben County.
Yeah. Shannon, did you have more questions you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I know.
Did he address your concerns?
Yeah.
Is there any more questions that how Tim has the wording changed now?
And it's good until we get to the ledge. I mean, you know, the full board, but let's try to knock it down right now and say where we are at.
There's a good chunk of everyone here today. That's why I wanted to see if anybody has any. Yep. Sheriff, do you have any major concern?
No, sir. I did some research, and Niagara County already has this on the sheriff's app. It's already built.
So the sheriff's app that we have, Niagara County has a similar one. They already have a component built for animal abuse registry that already exists. So the internet piece is pretty easy. We'll just add that onto our app.
I should have said under sheriff. I should have took that weight off your shoulders. All right. So if there's no other question, we don't need to actually do anything.
You do, because it is presenting an amended local law.
Okay. So we need a motion to accept the amended proposed law.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions that we didn't address? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Do you have anything else, Jack?
No.
Need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Seconds. Yeah.